Father, we want to thank you for another opportunity to hear your word. We thank you for the word of faith, building a foundation on the lives of the people, that when the storms of life come, they'll be steady and strong. The roots go right down. It'll be like trees planted by the rivers of waters, and in its season will bear fruit. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing shall shake us, because your word is a strong foundation as we plant in our hearts. So we thank you in advance for what this word will do. We open up our hearts to you, receptive to you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that we'll yield to you, that what you want to say to us will be spoken to our hearts and change us. As we leave this building, we'll be better off than we ever were before we came in, that we'll be yielding fruits of righteousness. And we thank you in advance for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you that you stretch forth your hand to heal if there's anyone that's sick. That through signs and wonders by the power of God, that healing may be granted unto us, and with great boldness we'll speak the word. We give you praise in Jesus' name, and everybody say amen and amen. All right, turn in your Bibles with me, please. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19 again. We're talking about taking control, taking authority in your life, and that's the topic we're talking about. And tonight we're going to talk about controlling your body. Let's go look at chapter 16, verse 19 of the book of Matthew. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I propose to you this idea that whatever you allow in your life, God has to allow in your life. And as an introduction, we should say that God is not in control over everything in your life or everything that goes on in this world. Some people have this predisposed idea that they believe that God is in control. And so we want to speak a little bit about that look at it in connection with the Bible, because in connection with us about what's going on in our lives. Can you imagine if God actually was in control of your life? If he actually literally controlled everything of your thoughts, if he controlled every bit about your feelings, if God controlled all your decisions, all your motives, what if he controlled all the situations in your life? And what if God controlled everything that happened in the city, everything happened in the world? Can you imagine what would happen if that actually would be true? But as we can see, that God is not in control over everything, because there's so much disasters, so much sickness, so much pain, so much confusion, so many people fearing. And God is not sending disasters on people, not making people sick, not sending people to the hospital. So there's something definitely wrong with the thinking that God is in control over everything. And so we need to understand also that the devil does not just take control over you. He doesn't come in and just take control over your life suddenly. You have to allow him. He'll only take control unless you allow him through your ignorance or your disobedience. That's the only time he can control your life. It's up to you, it's up to us, whether we allow any kind of control in our lives. God has given us control outside of your own will. Or inside your will, he cannot control you unless you allow him to. And so he has given us the ability to exercise power or control in our lives, because he's given us keys that he has already provided through Jesus Christ. Let me just go ahead and read Matthew 16 and 19 again to enlighten us. He said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And we have mentioned to you that keys refer to something, if we talk about keys, that means you have control over something. If you have the keys to your car, you have control over that car. You got keys to get inside your house. You got keys to go into your workplace and open up your office door and open up the office or the building of your church or your office or your business. Keys talk about control and access and the ability and power that you have. According to the scripture, Matthew 16:19. Jesus also said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Revelation 1:18, the King James Version says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Revelation 1:18, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he says, I have the keys of hell and death. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, he says. So he's talking about lots of ye's in here. Go you, whoever you are, go. And we've mentioned in Colossians chapter 1, and verse 12 and 13, and if you add 14, you can see about redemption. In Acts, Colossians chapter 1, verse, look at the screen if you don't mind. It says in here, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us, notice the word hath, he's not going to try and do it. That means he's already done it. He has, as past tense, according to what he did on the cross and when he rose from the dead, that Jesus already has made us meet or able. The word meet is able. He has made us able to be partakers of what? Of the inheritance. We have an inheritance as God's people. Go over to the next verse. Who has delivered us? From what? From the power of darkness. The power of darkness is Satan. It's from it's the devil. The Bible says he's already delivered us. The devil has no control over you. Let's get that in the Amplified Bible. And I want you to see verse 13 in the Amplified Bible. He has delivered us. He's already done it. Listen to this. He's already done this, but maybe it's not a reality in your life yet because you have to obtain that through your faith. You have to walk out your faith and obtain it. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself, notice this, out of the control and dominion of darkness. And he has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son of his love. And, we like to say the devil is controlling things. The devil is making me fearful. Devil's made me afraid. He is forcing me to be addicted to whatever. But the Bible says, as you clearly saw on the scriptures, that he's already delivered you. You might not be delivered in practical experience, but you're going to have to take a hold of that revelation and begin to apply it to your life and start believing it. It's not going to come on you automatically. You have to begin to use your faith and start to apply that to the scriptures. Because what's deceiving you is your body and your mind. Because your mind, if you haven't renewed your mind, the Bible says, Romans 12, that we have to renew our mind, start thinking like the Bible, start thinking like God has already given us. He's done it. And we need to renew our minds, have to refresh our minds to the fact that what God has already done through his redemption. Look at verse 14, I believe there. He says in here, let's go look at the Amplified. It's still, I think we'll be good in that. Verse 14 should be there. Give me the Amplified. In whom we have our redemption. What does the word redemption or redeem You know, Galatians 3:13, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. If there's any curse that the devil could ever throw on anyone, God has already provided an answer or a solution to any kind of curse in life. The Bible says that God, that you cannot curse what God has blessed. God has blessed his people. God has blessed every one of his children. And the Bible says that the curse of the enemy or the curse from your families cannot come on you. And you have to begin to exercise your faith. I remember I was working on one community, and this guy was trying to make me afraid of some medicine he was going to apply to me. He said, I'm going to curse you. And in my exuberance, I said, go ahead and try it. After I left on, I said, man, I better watch out here. And we have to watch. You know, if you're fearful already in your mind about this, he's already got you. And we can't let fear disturb us. So we have redemption. The word redemption or the word redeem, are you ready for this? The word redeem means to buy back with a price. The word redeem means to buy back with a price. Jesus bought you back. Satan had you through Adam. But Jesus came, the second Adam. He rose from the dead and he bought you back. So every one of you is bought and paid for. You're already redeemed. And he's given you authority. And he says that by through his blood. I want you to lift your hands and say, thank you for the blood. Lift up both hands and say, Lord, I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus. So I apply that blood to my life. I confess the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for that blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to tell you something about the blood of Jesus. You start confessing the blood and the power of God come on you and deliver you. I was singing about the blood one time. I was at my dad's home. I was singing, took the guitar, started singing. You don't know, y'all didn't know I could sing. Well, I could sing to myself. Play a little guitar. Start singing. I said, you know, when the anointing comes on me, I can do almost anything. Praise God. Amen. So the anointing came on me. In fact, he could anoint you to make me sound like I'm real good. See? Everything's good under anointing. You know what it's like when you're drunk? Everything seems good. Right? So the Bible was, you know, singing there, and the power of God came all over me. I was singing about the blood of Jesus. The power of God came all over me. And I got a little woozy. Woo! So getting drunk in my dad's kitchen. I didn't know it's going to happen. I just started singing, and all of a sudden, whoo, this is wonderful. Thank God. See, you should try it sometime. Okay. Now, let's go back here. He has delivered us. Romans chapter 6. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 6 that we shouldn't let sin reign in your body. Romans 6:12-14. Just write this down. I'll come back to it later. Romans 6:12-14 says, don't let sin reign. We'll come back and we'll explain that in a moment here. We got control. It says over here in James 4:7, I'm just reviewing some things we said. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The understood subject is you do the resisting. You have to tell the devil, no, I'm not going to have tobacco tonight. Well, you know, I mean, you don't have to eat it or anything, but people smoke tobacco. Ephesians 4:27 talks about neither give place to the devil. So if you don't give him place, it means you got some control over him. You know, some people like to think that he's doing everything. The Amplified says, the Ephesians 4:27, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give him no opportunity. Or give him no opportunity. Don't give him opportunity. And one of the ways we saw in that, you know, subsequent scriptures is that people give rein to the devil, give him opportunity, is through anger and resentment and strife. If you allow anger and resentment and strife in your life, the devil has authority to come in your life. He's got authority. Well, who gave him it? You gave him it. You gave him authority. Well, maybe you didn't, you didn't necessarily cooperate with him, but through your ignorance and through your disobedience to the Word of God, you gave him authority. So we have to listen to the Scripture to understand. So who's ruling over your life? The Bible says that we can rule over our own lives. Let's go over Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29, it says in the King James, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God does not want to allow us, he says, don't let any defective talk come out of our mouth. Just don't speak and speak, without any restraint. Just speak any way you want. We can't just talk any way we want to talk. Sometimes we've done it. Has anybody done it lately? We can have a repentance exercise. So we rule in our lives like a king would rule over his kingdom. And we are kings in our own lives. The scriptures will show us that we will show you scripture that you can rule like a king in your own life, over your own body, over your own mind. That's your domain. You can rule over your feelings. You can rule over situations that are contrary to God's word coming against you. You can start taking authority over those situations that the enemy has put in your life. You can take authority over there and tell them to stop pestering me through those people. Don't get mad at the person. Get mad at the operation of the spirits behind that person. Are you still here? Yeah. It's still good anyway, right? Yeah. So we need to see these things. A king will rule by decree or by his word or by his spoken word or by his written word. A king, how does the king rule? He rules by what he says. A king, the word reign refers to kingship. Don't let sin rule or reign in your life. Don't let it have kingdom authority over your life. Who has the last word in your life? You do. You have a last word in your life. You, like a king in your own life, have rule over your life. Let's go to Revelation 5:10 here. The Bible says, he says here in Revelation 5:10, he says, he has made us and has made us, that God has made us, like unto our God, as kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. That's speaking to us that we reign on earth. We reign. The word reign refers to kingship or authority. And sometimes, if you were in the thinking all the time that, hey, I don't have any control of my life. God, he decides everything. He does whatever he wants to do in my life. He'll just send me to Africa if he wants to. He make me to a missionary if I don't want to go. He'll just do it anyway. No, he doesn't. He can't just send you to Timbuktu or Arctic Ocean or in the middle of the sea with a ship. He can't just send you anywhere you want to go. You have to cooperate with God. He doesn't force you. So over here, notice again, we see, Revelation says that God has made unto us, or God and had made unto us, he's talking about our God, kings and priests on earth. Priests refer to as we serve before God. We're here to worship God, and he's made us to be worshipers of our God and do the things that are godly. Notice in Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense, That's talking about Adam. If by Adam's offense, death reigned. In other words, when Adam sinned, the Satan came in and he became ruler over man. People say, well, I don't know about that, but this is what the Bible teaches us. He is ruled by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. That's talking about you and me have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. How many righteous people we got? Okay, we're born again. We received a gift. I didn't tell you if you worked for it, if you've been really working hard at it. No, you received the gift of righteousness. When you became born again, your spirit became righteous before God. Jesus made you righteous. And right now, you stand before God as holy and separated before Him, even though you did something wrong. As far as God's concerned, if you knew, you know, there's something, your body wants to still sin and your mind wants to still sin, but your spirit is born again. You're righteous right now. And that's why we need the Bible to teach us how to think and how to make decisions. When using our will to do that, God gives us that ability. He says that through the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. That's talking about having control. That we can reign and have rulership in our lives. You can start deciding to be a king in your own life. In your own kingdom. I often go to my house, look out my window. When I go upstairs to my room, look over my balcony there. And say, I'm a king over here. I got two dogs. I rule over them. And sometimes I try to rule over my wife, but she doesn't let me. Amen. So she's a queen. Sometimes they overrule. Queenship. Let's go to Romans 5:15, the Amplified Bible. For because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reign through one. Much more surely those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them, this righteousness is putting them in right standing with Himself. This gift of righteousness, when Jesus came in your life, God made you righteous, and that He's put you in right relationship with God. You didn't have to do anything. The Bible says it's a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 says that this thing is a gift of God. It's God's free gift. And so with this force of righteousness, we can start enforcing God's will in our lives. Putting them in right standing with Himself. Notice this, reign as kings in life. Look at that. Reign as kings because you've been received abundance of grace and you received the gift of righteousness. And now you're going to rule as a king in life. What are you going to rule over? There's three things that you can rule over and reign over in your life. Amen. As a king, you're going to rule in your life. What are you going to rule over? Well, somebody said, my kingdom. Well, what's involved in that? Well, first of all, you're going to rule over the devil to stop defeating you and someone coming against you. You're going to take authority over him from attacking you in your life, attacking your body, attacking your mind. You're going to take authority over it. The Bible says, remember we talked about and that you take authority over your own mind. Right? It's the Bible says, casting down imaginations. We look at the scripture, casting down imaginations. In 2 Corinthians, I believe it's there, right? Chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. In other words, you can take every thought. It's your mind. You take authority over your own thoughts. In your mind. So number one, as a ruler, as a king, king person in your life, you're going to rule over the devil that's coming against you. Right? And then you're going to rule over negative situations or circumstances that are coming against you. Especially when you're walking in the will of God and the things of God, and the devil is trying to oppose you from going to the ministry and helping in the church and helping people and serving people and getting money, serving God with your money and serving God with your talents. And the devil will he'll get you so busy that you'll lose track of being connected with God. He'll give you opportunities that look so wonderful and just take you right off. That's what Jesus said over in Mark chapter 5. He doesn't want to take good things away from you, but he'll just allow you to do certain things. Grandma will take you away from the will of God. If you allow grandma rule in your life, you'll have grandma rulership. So you don't want granny running everything. Some grannies are godly, but they can run havoc sometimes. Okay. So number one, you take rulership in your kingdom over the devil, the enemy. Number two, you take rulership over negative circumstances coming against you. And number three, you can take ruler over yourself. And that's what we're talking about right now. You're going to take rulership. You're going to take authority. You're going to take control over your body, over your mind, over your emotions, over your mouth, over your behavior. Okay, so this guy, God doesn't have his mind renewed. That's why he's talking this way. If he learned how to control his mouth, he wouldn't be so loud. Amen. I'm telling you, you see, we have to understand this is what the Bible says. He can control his mind. Anybody can control their mind. Doesn't matter who you are. If no one's told you to take, you can't take control, you just go ahead and do what you want to do, then you just do what you want to do. But the Bible tells you you can take control. And so we have appropriate times to do certain things. So, let's go look at this again here. So, let's go here. And, we read Matthew 16. Verse 17, 18, about when they told Jesus, Jesus said, who do the people say I am? They said, you're one of the prophets and so on. And they talk about, but he said, who do you say I am? They said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, okay, Peter, Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon this rock, he said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Upon this revelation of knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, he said, I'm going to build my church on that knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. And if he's the Son, he's the head of the church. He's given us authority. The Bible says that he is the head of the church. So you have power. So we see here in the scripture, Matthew 16 and verse 19, he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 16 and 19. The keys of the kingdom, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. In other words, you will bind on earth. You will bind on earth, and it shall be bound in heaven. He's talking about not to heaven where God is. There's three heavens. The Bible talks about, Paul said, I went to the third heaven. And when I went to the third heaven, I couldn't explain what I saw. If you went to heaven, you couldn't explain to what you saw. Sometimes the prophets wrote in the scriptures, and they wrote things that you can't understand them. They try to describe what it is, describing what kind of angels they saw. They couldn't describe it. What kind? There's more than one kind of angel. Some of them have like several kinds of wings and eyes, and they have they can drive backwards and forwards and sideways and everything. They can fly and whatever. So heaven. He said, I went to the third heaven. So if there's a third heaven, there must be a second heaven, and there must be a first heaven. We live on earth, but above us, there's an atmosphere where all the stars are and where all the planets are. And above that, there's another heaven where the devils are. The Bible tells us so. That these devils, they want to rule. They're kicked out of heaven. They want to rule from there and come here and rule through us. And so they want to inhabit people, keep people's minds and wills that come through people. I was interviewed by a doctor from the university this afternoon, and a student. And he asked me questions. They're doing research. He sat down with me, asked me questions. And so he wanted to know what we do here. So he gave a pamphlet and we started interviewing. So I want to put this thing on and we want to talk to you about what happens here. I told him about everything. They want to know about devils? I'll give you talk about devils. So we take authority over devils. Oh, that's pretty good, he said. Well, we talked about all kinds of stuff. But people want to know about it. There's people that are hungry. He said, how did you get saved? How did you get born again? And everything else. I started talking to them about hearing Billy Graham on television. And how we teach people to, do you tell people, don't do this, don't do that? I said, well, we welcome everybody. But they know what we believe. We don't have to beat people over the head. If we don't have to. Sometimes you have to beat some people over the head. You know, I'm not literally, I'm talking about, you argue with people. So we don't argue with people. My dad used to say, you don't argue. So I don't argue with anybody. So God gives us control. So we have control. So we have mentioned that you have a mind and you can control your mind from crazy thinking, crazy thoughts. I just mentioned to you 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down imaginations and bringing thoughts into captivity. You can do that. You can control your thinking. Okay, so we talked about that. We'll mention again. And we talked about in Philippians 4, 7 to 8, that he tells us, think on all these wonderful things. This is how you should think. He tells us to think positive. In Philippians 4, 7, and 8, think positive. And he says, think on these things. If you're thinking negative, you're thinking about poverty, thinking about sickness, thinking about destruction, you're thinking about all these things, it's going to drag you down until it takes control over your life where you're so depressed. That's why depression takes over people. And notice Isaiah 26:3 says, thou will keep him in what? Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on the devil? No. Stayed on negative situation? No. Stayed on thee, on him, because we trust in you. So if you're going to have a perfect, peaceful mind, you can't think of negative things. Because God told you to. You say, well, what if I lose control over that and I'm trying to control this and control that? No, it's not about you controlling everything. Start letting God, his word, work in your life and begin to use God's word and apply it in your life. Now, we talked about your emotions and your feelings. You don't have to give in to negative emotions. It's up to you to act on the emotions. You can control how you feel. I remember doing an exercise in university, college, and asking students, what are feelings and what are emotions? And people they don't always differentiate that. There's physical feelings, and there's, emotional feelings that come from our mind, So we can control these things by the way we think. It's all about thinking. How many people understand this? Stress? This is research. Stress in the mind affects your physical body, breaks down your physical body over a long period of time, where it affects your lungs, your heart, your kidneys, everything else. It starts affecting your life. You start thinking about different things that just playing on your mind. So you're connected. Your spirit, your soul, and your body is interconnected, and they work together. What happens in one area affects the other. That's why if you put the Word of God in your spirit, it affects your body to get healed. And so if you put negative things in your mind and it starts affecting you, so with stress has to do with how you think. It's how you see things in life. It's how you see a problem that stresses you out. I want to say that one more time. It's how you see something that stresses you out. Who told you how you see it is the right way? See, God wants us to look at His Word so that we can begin to have freedom from stress and the negative effects of stress. Look at this. So you have rulership over your body. Romans 6:12. So when I said you have rulership over your body, when I mentioned, I'm going to break this down, show you what I'm talking about here. Let not sin, Romans 6:12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Lots of people, their body is ruling them. I got to have a coffee. I got to have it now. Get out of my way. You know? Why are all these people ordering why are they so slow at ordering at the Timmy's? Like, well, this is a drive-through. I want to get to my coffee and get out of here. You know? Why is this food coming so slow? So let not sin reign in your mortal body. There are people, sometimes their body, they got compulsions or whatever in their body, their appetites, their desires, and their fleshly lusts, or they want to do things, they want to have things for their body. So it says here that you should obey it, or obey your body in the lust thereof. So it's telling you that you don't have to obey your body. You don't have to obey what your body tells you to do. I don't have to drink coffee if I don't want to. I remember when I started quit smoking, I said, I'm not letting smoking overtake me anymore. My body can cry if it wants to, but I'm not going to do it. The more you feed tobacco in your body, the more it wants it. The more you give coffee to it, the more it wants it. You have to starve it to get rid of it. Nobody likes that. Okay, so you mean to say I'm going to hunger strike tonight? Okay, let's look at this in the Amplified Bible. Are you doing okay? I got 3 minutes, it says here, but I can stretch it out a little bit. Like Ojibwe time. Okay, watch this. Romans 6:12. Amplified Bible, classical edition. We want the classic, because everybody looks classic. They look real old here tonight. Except these beautiful girls in the front row. That's why I keep looking over here. See a little Natasha. You wouldn't think how old she is, eh? She's like 14 years old almost. Yeah. Natasha, I'm sorry to put you out there. I'm sorry. Okay, so Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore rule as king. So I see that some people have kings. They're pretty big kings. The king is getting huge. You got a huge kingdom. Amen? I'm going to shut down pretty soon. One minute. I see Ernie, you know. He's all kinds of buckets. I don't know why he's not dead yet. I'm sorry. I repent. Okay. Let not sin therefore reign as king in your mortal body, short-lived, perishable bodies, to make you yield to its cravings, to be subject to its lust and evil passions. In other words, your body is not born again. Your body is just as unsaved as Joe and John down the street who's never been born again. If you allow it as a born-again Christian, spiritual Christian, your body is going to do anything it wants to do, just like somebody who's never been born again. And so you have to rule over it. You have to take control over it. Because if you don't control your body, it's going to run your life. And people have been doing that for a long time. We're going to stand up because this is getting so real, serious. We're going to come back to that. Maybe how many people think we should talk about this some more? Huh? We have some more scriptures to show you. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. Amen. Let's thank Him for the Word. Father, we want to praise You for the Word of God. We give You praise for all that You're doing in our lives. Thank You, Jesus, that our bodies should not rule us. It's cravings and lusts. And we're going to take control over our appetites. We thank You, Lord God. We're going to take our body. And we're going to start exercising it. Exercising control over it. And speak to our body. Thank You, Lord. We speak to our bodies right now. In the name of Jesus. Bible says, whatsoever You shall demand in My name, I'll do it. And so we speak to our bodies. Bodies, You start lighting up with the Word of God. Liver, You start operating properly. Blood pressure, be normal. Be normal. In Jesus' name, arms and feet begin to feel free, released from sickness and disease. We speak to our hearts to beat right, to not skip a bit. We pray in the name of Jesus that every artery and the blood will flow and freely through every artery, that to be unclogged, and God, by His Spirit, pushing nutrients and healing throughout our entire body. Thank You, Lord, that our ears operate. We can hear properly. We can speak right. We can see right. Our muscles, sinews, and joints are free from illness and disease. Thank You, Lord. We give You praise for healing us, delivering us, that we are the healed of the Lord. We thank You. We speak to our body. We say we have control over You. We rule over You. You don't rule me anymore. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we are kings indeed over our own lives. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're watching online, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can ask Jesus to come in your life right now and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. Come into my life. I'm a sinner. I need You. Thank You for delivering me. Thank You for saving me. I'll follow You, and I'll turn from my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we want to help you. Call us, let us know, and we want to send you something to help you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you. Amen.